Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I'm a very blessed and excited man this morning, just to know that I'm saved, just to know that I'm sanctified, just to know that I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I'm just excited about what God's doing in my life and where he's taking me to. Thank you for my pastors, Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, and the investment that they're making me and in my family and what we're doing as we move forward in this ministry. And it's just an awesome time to be a child of God. Can someone say amen? It's an awesome time to be a follower of Christ. And we are moving forward right here as a church in Victory Outreach Manchester. So again, if you're watching online, we welcome you and we thank you for being a part of what we are doing here. So we want to move straight into the word this afternoon. Can you turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. I think it's on the screen behind me, and we're reading from the New Living Translation. I looked for someone. Tell your neighbor, someone. He might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone. Touch your neighbor again, tell him someone. To stand in the gap in the wall so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. The wall spoken of here in verse 30 of this chapter is not made of stones. When you look for the Bible, the Lord uses many different analogies and different things to get a point across to his people. Sometimes you just think of a wall and you think, okay, how tall is the wall? What's it made out of it? What does it look like? But this, in this particular verse, is talking about the faithful people united in their efforts to resist evil. The wall was in disrepair because there was no one that could lead the people back to God. So when you think about this wall, you know, we look at the walls in today's life, and even in back in the day, walls were like fortresses. They were there to protect cities. They were there to protect the people. But that's why the Lord used this wall as an analogy of why he wanted faithful people that were united in their efforts to protect themselves from the evil one and the plans of the enemy. You know, it's easy to title this message, Standing in the Gap, when you read that verse. But what I realized, before you stand in the gap, you have to realize the need, you have to have a burden for the situation. There has to be a burden on your heart, and then to decide that I need to do this right now. You know, in life, there's many situations that we find, and we see gaps in our life. We see areas in our life that need to be filled. But you've got to come to a place where you realize what needs to happen, because it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'll just stand in the gap. But there has to be a process that you go through. There has to be a burden on your heart to get to that place where you say, Lord, I want you to use my life to make a difference, because there's gaps. There's things missing. We're not working it out. Something's not right. Interesting enough, yesterday, I was just walking along the fence outside of my house, and for about 6-8 weeks or so, the hedge has been overgrowing. You know, when a hedge overgrows, it looks horrible, it looks tatty, it looks like no one lives there, it just looks like awful. But again, being a man, I'm going to get round to it at some point. So I'm going to get this hedge cut, and I'm going to do it. But what I realized, even as I was walking alongside it, there was like gaps all along the way. And you could see right through to the house. And I was like, you know what? This doesn't look good. It feels as if my family is vulnerable. I feel open. Because I'm just walking on the path. It's not a path that we always walk along. But I'm just walking along it, and I could just see the gaps in between. And I thought, I need to do something about this quicker. Rather than procrastinating and thinking about it and not actually doing it, now I have more of a reason to sort out this hedge, because now it almost feels like we're open. We have to make decisions Every single day of our lives. Can somebody say amen? Amen. It's not an option to not make a decision. You got up this morning, you made a decision. We make small and bigger decisions all the time. If you decided to stay in bed this morning or whatever day of the week, you made a decision. I've decided I can't keep eating late at night. I have made a decision. It's only been since the start of August, praise the Lord. But I've made a decision. My parents growing up saying, you know what, you eat so much. And I do actually eat a lot, believe it or not. I do actually eat a lot. You know, but I they were telling me you can't keep eating late at night because you will put the weight on. Hello, somebody. Can I be real this morning? It sits on your belly as you sleep. All these things are not healthy. So I need to stop eating late at night. And the thing about it, it's not the smaller portions. I get hungry. It's like one of those, like, in the night going to the fridge, all the lights on, or in the fridge. So I have to make a decision that I can't keep eating late at night. What are some of the decisions that you have to make on a daily basis? You decided to come to church this morning. And hopefully it wasn't just a tick box exercise. You came this morning because you wanted to meet the living Christ. You want to encounter with him. You wanted to leave change. It wasn't just a tick box that you were here this morning. You made a decision to be in the house of the Lord. But apathy and procrastination are some of the biggest killers and limiters of growth in a person's life or in a ministry. Do you know something? It's the worst thing to procrastinate and not do something when you've been called or been told to do it. You know, I find myself, and I've grown up in the ministry, and I've learned that I can't continually be told to do something and not act on it, rather quicker than slower. I need to realize that apathy, and again, it's one of the killers as well, apathy can get you to a place where you just become lazy. You know what? Laziness is never good in the house of the Lord. You get to the point where you know you need to do something and you just feel lazy. You just feel slumped. You just feel like, why? Or maybe later. And it affects every single thing else if you allow apathy and procrastination to take place in your life. Can somebody say amen? As a church, we are moving forward. And we're looking for men and women that realize their need to make decisions and move forward. I always have a little challenge in my life, and I'm really exposing myself here this afternoon. And sometimes I have to second guess myself before I make a decision. And what that does, apart from it being procrastination, hello, apart from it being like, why didn't I do that? Now look at what's taking place because you didn't do that. Because what happens, we find ourselves trying to work it all out before we do it. I don't know if anybody else like that. I don't know if it's just me. You get told to do something. You even know the reason why you need to do it. And then you try to work it out and work it out and work it out and try and find all the solutions before actually doing it. Then nobody knows that you're meant to be doing it. So I've got to tell myself, stop second guessing, do what you've been called to do, and make a difference. Because you know what? As Christians, we have such a responsibility, and life depends upon the decisions that we make. We're not here playing church. It's not just a tick box exercise. We are growing. We've been told to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. That means there's lots of decisions that we need to make. If we are all moving in the same direction at the same time, every single one of us will have to make a decision to move forward that is going to affect the long term. You know, what we realize as we grow as a ministry is that the Lord is coming back soon. And I don't know about you, but the days are going so quick. We're in August. We're 8 months into 2018. The time is moving real quick. I don't know about you, but that tells me something about my scriptures when it said he's coming soon. He will quicken the days. That tells me that I can't sit down and be thinking about all the things I need to be doing for months at a time. I've got to get to the point where I realize in my spirit that the Lord wants to use my life to make a difference. He wants to use my life to make a difference for somebody else's life. So I can't procrastinate, second guess, allow apathy into my life when I know there's a need that needs to be met. Can somebody help me out? I'm a speaking truth. Does it make sense? And we have to get to that point in our lives where we understand the need to move forward. You know, one of my prayer points is to, like I said, is to move forward from taking so long in making right choices, right decisions. And I've been having an interesting conversation with my 20-year-old nephew. He just studied in chemistry. He got a first in chemistry. You know, these guys are so clever. Sometimes I just don't know where they get the brains from. They're so clever, you know. And he got a first in his degree. And he did that well on his score that the professor who wrote the course invited him to a special lecture in chemistry. And I was like, wow, go on, bro, go on, it's good, great, good stuff, fantastic. But we were in a conversation talking about Christ, talking about what it means to follow, he's not a Christian, talking about what it means to follow Christ. But it almost felt like I was talking in Chinese. Do you know when you get that feeling when you're speaking to somebody and you're trying to keep it simple? And here's an intelligent 20-year-old who gets a first in his degree, he's planning his master's, he's got his PhD worked out, he's going forward, and he's asking me things like, how do you make a decision? Why do you talk to the Lord about what decisions, what choices you need to make? And it gets to the point where you're thinking, you know what, let me just keep my head, keep it cool. There's a reason why he doesn't understand. You know, the Bible talks about spiritual things. People who are carnal can't understand spiritual things. And it's all going through my head. I'm like, okay, all right, cool, that's cool, that's good. But all I'm telling him is about my relationship with him. And I've got to get up in the morning and make decisions, spiritual decisions. We're in a world that is fallen. We're in a world that has no hope. We're in a world that 20-year-olds like my nephew are more concerned with doing well in school. And hey, come on now, that is fantastic. That is great. I support him. I'm proud of him. But there's something beyond that. There's something more than just getting a first in your degree. You know, becoming a doctor, that's wonderful. But I'm trying to get him to understand, wait a minute, you need to understand that there's a God in heaven that loves you and has a plan for your life. And he was asking me continuously questions. How do you know God is real? How do you know when you pray and you ask for direction that he actually answers you? I know he answers me because I have a peace in my heart. I have a peace in my heart when I get up in the morning and I pray and ask the Lord to show me and help me to make the right decisions. I'm not still trying to work it out. But we are in a world where people are growing up and they're very intellectual. They're very clever. They have all the answers. But there's something missing. And that's why we can't procrastinate. That's why we can't get tired. That's why we can't lose hope on why we have to go and tell the world that Jesus is alive. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now, it's really key that we understand that the world has an opinion about everything. It's all about what they know. I'd rather meet a person who is clever, intelligent, but bases his knowledge on the wisdom and the things of God, rather than a person who gets up and is taught all these things from a book, and that's wonderful, but misses the reason why we need to move forward and the reason why he's learning all these things. As a church, we've been sharing together over the last few weeks and months. Our pastor's been preaching, and we're in a year of growth and expansion. Over the last 7 months, the message has been very clear. Hearing week after week, being part, the part you play in the ministry. What is the part you play in the ministry? When you think about the titles, about how much do you want this? Do you want it a little or a lot? Doing it the right way. These are the messages that keep rolling in week after week to help us grow and understand what it means to make the right decision in this day and in this age. The time is short. The time is very short, and we have a clear responsibility as Christians to move forward. There are many challenges in our life, church. There are many challenges as we move forward every day of our lives. We're coming across opposition in many ways and many forms. We don't even know what our government is doing at the moment. You hear about this thing, you turn on the news and all you hear is Brexit. I have not got a clue now what it's meant to be. But this is the world we're living in. You know, we're governed by people who are making decisions on a daily basis. How are we going to stand and represent and make a difference as Christians in a fallen world? We have such a clear responsibility to move forward. That is why I'm so grateful for the vision and the mission of Victory Outreach Manchester. We are going somewhere, church. We are moving forward. We are going somewhere, and we are going to make a difference, not only in this city, but across the UK. But every single one of us has to make a decision about the part that we play in this. The beautiful thing is that this ministry is here to build you. This ministry is here to build me. When you come into this church, you realize that we're moving forward regardless of who comes. We are still moving forward. We have a mandate. There's a calling on this church, on this ministry, to make a difference. But the ministry is here to build you. And sometimes we can get it the wrong way around. We get caught up in the people that come, and we get them to do this and to do that. And the next minute, they're burnt out because, you know, there's so much that they're doing. But we as leaders and as people of God need to get to the place where we say, Lord, this is your ministry. This belongs to you. You've called us to build this ministry. And the gates of hell will not prevail against this ministry or this church. Amen? We will go through. We will do whatever it takes to see this ministry grow, not just because we need lots of numbers. It's great when you see these mega churches, and it's wonderful. It's awesome. It's great. People are gathering to worship God. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're not just going after numbers. We want to see people grow in God. We want to see people come, become all God has called them to be. We want to see people set on fire and with a passion to make a difference. That is my heart. That's Pastor Paul's heart and Sister Vicky's heart, the leaders. We want to see people come into this ministry and make a difference because they know the calling of God upon their lives. And that's why we're passionate about what we do. That's why we get excited about what we are doing. That's why we can't waste time. We can't procrastinate anymore. We can't allow apathy to set in to the point where we say, I'll do that thing tomorrow. I'll do it maybe next week. I'll do it when I feel better or when I feel. We need to move now. It's time to make a decision. What is the decision that you're making, and how is it going to enhance the kingdom of God? That's what I've got to tell myself. What are the decisions that I have to make that are going to enhance the kingdom of God and allow the church to grow? God is looking at us. He's saying, what are you doing? What are you doing with what I've given you? We've been hearing about the talents. You know, we've been hearing about, you know, the man who buried his talent. We don't want to be people in here today that bury our talents. As I look across this room right now, I see talents and gifts all over this room. Every single one of you has a gift, has a talent, has been called to do something. What are we doing with what God has given us? Because we have a heavy mandate. There's a heavy calling on our lives. whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, we got to go before the Lord and say, Lord, help me in this situation because I need to move forward. You've called me. You've equipped me. You've given me everything that I need to make a difference. So we cannot waste time. It's time to make those spiritual, godly decisions because they affect somebody else's life. That's the weight of responsibility that we carry as children of God. This is not one of those tickle your ear messages. I've got to get real. We're in a time and a season where the world has its own plan. It's so secularized and so social in its thinking. There's no room for God. I remember going to school many years ago, not that long ago. Hello? And I remember going to school, and it wasn't a Christian school, but the values were very clear. We sang hymns in the morning. We prayed before we had our milk and our custard creams. We prayed. We gathered together. And the key thing is that still happening in the 21st century, 2018? What has happened? The values, they say we're in a Christian country. And by title, we probably are by title. But are we living? Is the values still there? People are going away from God. There's generations that are missing out. Speaking to my nephew, he knows nothing about Christ. Sat in the van with him for 2 hours from Nottingham to Manchester. He had no idea. I'm talking to him. He's like, yeah, Jesus. Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah, how do you know he's real? Yes. He has no concept. He just heard the name. But there's many more people like my nephew Daniel. There's more and more people. When are we going to get to the place where it's a burden on our heart to go beyond what we see here and reach out and make the right choices and make the right decisions? I want to get back to those values and those things that God has called us to do. That's why I said in this ministry, even internationally, I'm so excited about where we are going. I don't remember in 2016, we had a whole year in the church talking about the passion. Passion for the cause. Everything that we did, every return, there was a passion for the cause. And in 2016, we talked about the passion for the cause. 2017 was the time is now. The time is now. What are we doing with the time that we have now? Because how many know tomorrow is not promised to us? What are we doing with what God has given us right here, right now? And it stirs my heart. And in that particular year, that's when I realized the need to move forward and hear from the voice of the Lord and get ready to move and make decisions. It was a year that really spoke to me in such a way that I said, Lord, I remember being at the Mighty Men conference and I said, Lord, use my life. I want to make a difference. Use my life. I'm going through the motions. I'm ticking boxes. I want to see my life affect somebody else's. I want to play a part in this ministry. I want to see people set free and lives transformed. But the real essence was the time is now. He wasn't saying, oh, if you don't do it now, maybe you can do it tomorrow. If you don't do it now, maybe you can do it in a few weeks. If the essence of the whole year of the time is now, and it's still the time is now, hello? Now in 2018, the time is still now. And we realize, what are we doing now with the time that God has given us? You've got to remember, he's outside of time. He's outside of time. But we are here living this life with a call upon our lives. What decision are you going to make? There's a quote from a guy called Eckhart Tolle and said, realize deeply that the present moment is all you have. Make the now the primary focus of your life. Realize deeply that the present moment is all you have. Make the now the primary focus of your life. I remember growing up in church, and I shared my testimony last week at Super Sunday, and There was a real foundation laid in my life. A real sense of security, a real sense of moving and belonging. But I still missed what I was called to do. I spent most of my life in that church, and I was there, and I was saved, and I was loving the Lord. But there was still something missing. The mission, where I'm going, the vision, what I'm called to do was still missing. And that's why in this ministry, we talk about the vision and the ministry so often. Because we want to make sure that no one misses and no one realizes they have an opportunity to grow right here in this ministry. And I remember singing songs like, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And we sing it here in Victory Outreach. But that was all about the decision, making a decision to follow Jesus without looking back. Not having a get-out clause. Not having a backdoor opportunity. It was saying, Lord, I don't want to turn back. I've decided to follow you. And that's why we have to get to that place in our lives where there is no other alternatives. There's a crying need, church. We're at a place in our lives where we have to make the right spiritual decisions. We make decisions every day. You're here. You got up this morning. You go to work tomorrow, college, university, holidays, whatever it is. We make decisions every single day of our lives. But today, I want us to look closely at the spiritual, godly decisions that are going to impact our families. They're going to impact our friends. They're going to impact the environments that we move in every single day of our lives. They're going to be a place where we make decisions that when we get up in the morning, we're so excited and on fire for God that He wants to use our life to make a difference on that particular day. There has to be a burden on our heart. Ezekiel was called at a time as raised as a prophet to deal with the situation at that time. It was a time where people of Israel were worshiping the God of heaven and worshiping idols at the same time, enjoying the sinful pleasures of the world at the same time while trying to say, Lord, I love you and I worship you. There were feeble attempts to fill in the gaps with their own opinions rather than God's will, only covering the real problems for a moment. The people needed a total spiritual reconstruction. God needed a man to step in and see the need and make a decision right now. That's like us today here in Manchester, here in the UK. God is looking for people, men and women, that see the need and make a decision right now. How is my life going to impact the generation that I'm in? How am I going to have the same desire that Ezekiel had to see the need, to see the gaps, to see the vulnerability of the people, to see how they've strayed so far from God, and step in and show them the right way to go, or else God was going to just expose them and just take them out completely. But He wanted to step in. Moses did the same thing when you read Psalms 106, verse 19 to 23. The people made a calf at Mount Sinai. They bowed before an image made of gold. They traded their glorious God for a statue of grass-eating bull. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done such great things in Egypt, such wonderful things in the land of Ham, such awesome deeds at the Red Sea. So He declared He would destroy them. But Moses, but Colin, but Pastor, but Emmanuel, put your name in that place, stepped in between the Lord and the people, and He begged Him to turn from His anger and not destroy them. You've got to put your name there. This is how serious this thing is. You've got to put your name there. We all have a part to play. We might not all be regional pastors like Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky overseeing churches in other countries. That's a mandate on their life. But we all have a part to play right here, right now. We all have people that we can impact by making the right decisions. We have to look forward, church. We can't sit down and just think it's okay, somebody else will do it. The pastors will do it. The leaders will do it. Every single one of us has been called for such a time as this. Church, there has to come a point in your life where there's a burden. There has to come to a point in your life where you can't sleep at night because of the burden. There has to come a point in your life when you realize, what am I doing? How am I affecting? What am I doing to move forward to build the kingdom of God? It's all about now. It's all about what I can do for the Lord now in my sphere of influence. We have to think on this level. Church, would you stand with me? Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Church, this has not been one of those messages where, you know, you just get told all the nice things and it's... I believe we're in a time and a season, and it's just speaking to me as well, where I want my life to make a difference. You know, I've been saved for many, many, many years, but it's only in the last 9 years, joining Victory Outreach Manchester, to be really honest, that I've realized that there's a calling on my life. Now I'm at the point where I'm saying, you know what, Lord? It's time to move forward and make a difference. You know, I believe now I understand that my life is meant to count. That I can't sit down where it's comfortable any longer. Where I've got to step out and believe God by faith. That I've got to go and say, Lord, you know what? I want to be used by you. I've got to make the right choices and the right decisions. I don't want to get to the heavenly gates. And the Lord said, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I gave you? What have you done? Who did you impact? I told you to do this and you didn't do it. The time is now. The calling of God is on our lives now. Whatever it is. Whatever it is you're called to do, how are you going to impact the kingdom of God? I'm at a place now where I say, Lord, do whatever you want. Your will be done. Not my will, not my way of doing things. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you lift your hands up all over this place as we pray? Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.